Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. New beginnings is not just for the young. That song is really catchy. For some reason, it seems like I'm almost always humming that song. New beginnings is not just for the song, just for the young. I would like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are Blog Talk Radio. This is New Beginnings Ministry every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we thank you for tuning in. For those of you that have tuned in by internet, You can call in the number 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054, and you can be connected to this interactive Bible blog. This evening, we're going to be in Long Island as our usual timeline with Pastor Dawn Nixon. Amen. Always coming with a mighty, mighty word. So we're looking forward to hearing what God has placed on our heart, and we're going to be open and available. We're going to move on into Long Island, New York, and we're going to turn the mic over to Pastor Nixon. Amen. Pastor Nixon, are you there?
Oh, good. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We have you, and we're going to turn it all over to you. Amen.
Okay. God bless you. I'm so grateful and thankful to be back on the line with you on tonight. Please, everyone, get on the phone if you can. Text somebody. Let them know we are on the line on tonight. I believe that we have a life-changing word for those for this particular season. I just want to say thank you for all of those who had prayed for me. On last month, we had a transition take place in our family. So we do appreciate all of your prayers that have gone up for our family. I'm grateful to God to be able to share with you on tonight. And we're going to go to the Gospel according to John. And we're going to go from chapter 17. So we're in John chapter 17, just a few verses that we're going to pick out. That's John 17, verses 16 through 25. John 17, verses 16 through 25. We want to go before the Lord with a word of prayer. Our Father, now God, we thank you tonight. We thank you because you are God. And in spite of where we may feel in our season, we realize that you are our God. And beside you, there is not another. And so, God, we pray on tonight that you will arrest this line, that you will take hold to this line, and that those who are the hearers of the word will become doers of the word. We pray that, God, this will ignite the faith of those who are listening on this airwave tonight. I pray, oh God, for that one who is going through a situation that they feel like they cannot get out of. God, I pray that you allow them to understand that you are a God who reaches way down and will pick them up from where they are. No matter what their background is or no matter who their mother or father is, that God, you love them just the same. And so we pray tonight that you will touch the hearts of your people. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. And so now we're on, we are going to be talking tonight about we're not in this by ourselves. We are not in this by ourselves. And there are many this's that we feel that we're by ourselves in. And so we want to share with the people of God on tonight. I want you to understand that you are a peculiar people. You're not just anybody, but you are a God, you are a people who God has set aside or hollowed out to become great and to become greater. And so we're going to start verse 16. It reads, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth." So we want to stop right there for a second. Here Jesus is sharing a prayer with the Lord, and he's saying to God, he has his disciples. And the one thing I love about God is he's not praying for the disciples to become rich. He's not praying for the disciples to become great. He prays for them to be kept from sin. He is praying for them to be sanctified and hollowed out from the world so that people will recognize in the world that they belong to him and he belongs to you. And so we have to understand we are in the world, but we are not of the world. When you have the understanding that you are a part of the kingship of God, and you understand and acknowledge his kingship, and you have taken on the holy robe of God, you have to recognize that you cannot walk around and believe that you are defeated. You have to believe and know within yourself that I am different, even though I'm in the world. There are things that happen in the world that I do not have to abide by because it goes against my kingdom principle. And when I recognize those things that go against my kingdom principle, I cannot indulge in the things of the world because I am not a part of this world. I am a part of a kingdom that does not recognize the sin of this world. So God, Jesus says to his Father, he says, Father, what I want you to do is sanctify them through thy truth. See, the thing is that a lot of times people cannot handle what the truth is. We want the will of God to happen in our life. We want God to do what he says he would do. But a lot of times we don't want to recognize the will of God because a lot of times the will of God conflicts with the flesh of the world. And so, in other words, it conflicts with my flesh. So therefore, I don't want to really deal with the truth because we think if we're ignorant to the fact that we will not be held accountable to what God has said for us to do. And so we have to understand God's praying for us. Know this, that he didn't just send his disciples in the world, but watch this. Verse 20 says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. The Lord has given the disciples to give us the New Testament, and we're sharing in their testament of the walk of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are experiencing through their eyes and through their writings concerning the truths of who God is, so that we may know him, so that we can understand what Jesus is all about. Some things we can only read, but then there are some things that we get revelation from God that it will ignite our spirit so that we'll understand. We are living in a time where we have to live a sanctified life. Now, we make excuses for why we can't do this and why we can't do that. I just have not built that way. It is impossible for you not to be built that way if God created you. You were made from the dust of the earth, and he breathed life into you. The only reason why you may feel as if you are not built that way is because you have not been reconnected with your Father. Once you are reconnected with your Father, you have the mindset that I can do all things, not just some things, not this thing every now and then, but I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. If it was not for God, I would not be a survivor. And so when I acknowledge the only reason why I am where I am and I am who I am is because I am surviving only because he is my Savior. In order for you to be a survivor, there has to be someone who comes and saves or delivers you from what you're in. And so I am a survivor not because of anything of myself. I am a survivor only because I have a Savior. If he never died, if God never sent him, if God never allowed him to take on the sins of the world so that I could live, I could never call myself a true survivor. So I am a survivor because I am a Savior. So as I look at the fact that God has sanctified us, he is looking for us to be sanctified. He is calling those who are to be sanctified through the word of God. And so his disciples, he is talking with God to his Father concerning his disciples, but he says, not only thee, but also those who believe on me through their word. And there are those who are under the sound of my voice. You are nothing more than a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the reason why God is not only just praying this for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he is praying this for all of those who have heard the word, accepted the word, and believe that he is the Son of God. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. You cannot separate Father from Son. The Bible lets us know when you see the Father, you see the Son. I acknowledge the fact that they are one. And when the Holy Ghost is intertwined, they are one. Somebody said, well, how in the world are they one? How he separated all of them together. You have to understand that your name, my name is Dawn. I am a mother. I am a daughter. I am a pastor. But my name is still the same. I may have different titles, but I'm only one individual. And so we have an understanding now that God, our Father, has sent his Son. He allowed him to be born into the world so that we might be saved and delivered. And not only that we would be sanctified, so that when we were in the world, we would not have to be in this world by ourselves. Because when we look at our world in this season and at this time, there's no way in the world I can live without God, without him being by my side. It is impossible. I don't know how people walk around and do not acknowledge God as their Savior, because without him, I can't do anything. Without him, I'm going to be a failure. And so I'm grateful to God, for God has given us the gift of salvation. If there are those who are in your family that have not accepted the gift, I press upon you. I admonish you to go out and tell them about the Son of God, that you let them know that you are not in this world by yourself. Okay, let's look at the prime example here. We are living in a season where people, after this election, have become very depressed. They're depressed because they feel like the questions that they have or the needs that they have will not be met through this elected president. Well, I took it a different way. I got excited because I realized what we see don't make no sense. We have a politician in office who is on the job training. It doesn't make sense to the mentality of mankind when, in order for you to get an entry level job, you have to at least have a master's degree. So how in the world do we have somebody in office now who is never been in politics? And then we had to listen to the rhetoric that he has spoken, and yet and still I recognize and realize that out of this, a lot of people may be getting depressed. They said that people are going to psychiatrists just to get out of the depression that they're in because of who's in office. But what I recognize that a lot of people may not recognize, that I am in this world, but government does not rule my life. The only reason that we acknowledge the fact that we have presidents, but God has us. He is still the God who holds the whole world in his hands. So if God is still holding the whole world in his hands, why are we depressed? Why are we upset? Know this, that whenever tragedy comes, miracles are about to show up. God never needs to act out on a miracle unless a tragedy or a hardship has taken place. And so while everybody got depressed, I got excited because I recognized that God is getting ready to do something, because we cannot understand this. It seems impossible for us to stand as mankind. But when you all have an understanding that I've been hollowed out of this world, I'm in this world, but I am not a part of the world. God has sent me out into the world to so that other mankind can understand who he is. Let me show you this. God is going to show himself to America, because the only time America listens is when something bad happens.
That's right.
The only way that America will listen is if something happens. A prime example, when we had to deal with 9/11, they wouldn't let us pray in school. They wouldn't let our children pray in school. They wouldn't let us pray in different facilities that dealt with government. They wouldn't allow us to do certain things when it came to that. But, honey, when it came to the time where tragedy hit, when those planes hit the towers, my baby came home and said, Mom, do you know they let us pray in school? Well, I said, well, what happened to church and state? See, that's the problem with us. We only want to acknowledge God when we get in trouble. But I come to let folk know the day that trouble happens and tragedy happens so God can show himself who he is. So I want to acknowledge you today. I want to build your faith today that you are in the world. You are not of the world. You belong to God, your Father. And he has the whole world in his hands. And because Amen. He has the whole world in his hands, All my resources come from God. Everything that I need comes from God. It does not come from a check from the government. It does not come from the resource. I shared with them, we were dealing with tithes on this in this season and time, because a lot of people don't realize that they're missing out on their blessing. And the reason why they are not getting blessed by God is because they're under a curse. It's not because you're having bad luck. You have bad luck because you are not paying your tithe. God lets us know. He says, mm-hmm. I give the seed to the sower. I give the seed to the sower. In other words, God gives you the money that you have so that you can sow, so that you can make a harvest out of what he's given you. I have a problem with folk who have a problem with giving God a portion of their harvest when the seed comes from him in the first place. How can you deny God? How can you deny God the seed that you have? When he the harvest that you have, when you only have it because God gave you the resource. It is not your job that blesses you. It is the God up in heaven that you serve that gave you the activities of your limbs, the breath in your body, so that you can go on a job which you get seed from or resource from. And that's why a lot of times when you are a tithe payer, and I'm a witness to this, when you are a tithe payer, your money does not meet your bills, but somehow you are still living in your house with a roof over your head. You may not eat what you want to eat, but God still is supplying food on your table. You may not get to go everywhere you want to go, but God is still your Jehovah Jireh. He is providing for you. What kind of God could do something like that for me? I don't deserve it, but God has been so blessing to me. It is the principle of God. If I give unto him my tithe and my offering, he is going to bless my coming in and my going out. See, the problem is you want seeds or the harvest to come all at one time. But God recognizes that a lot of times you can't handle all of the harvest that God has for you, because oftentimes we're wasteful with what we have. And so I want us to acknowledge the fact that I'm saying all of this because a lot of people depend on government assistance to take care of them. What happens when government assistance is no longer in existence? What happens when they make you come off all of the public assistance that there is, when they get rid of Social Security? What are you going to do? The only thing you can do is rely on God. He said, I am your God. I am your Jehovah Jireh. I will take care of you. And so when I acknowledge the fact that God is getting ready to do something for his children that he's not going to be able to do for everybody else that is not connected, you are in the best season of your life because God is going to show up and show out in this season. I just believe God in that area. And so we have to understand that God's glory has to be revealed. I shared with them on Sunday that we have been chasing the American dream. That is one of the biggest issues that we have. One of the biggest problems we have is that we're trying to chase the American dream. We're trying to chase the fact that we want a 4-bedroom house with a white picket fence, with a 2-car garage, with a husband and a wife, with 2.5 children. We want all of this that America says that they have to offer. But can I tell you, what God has is so much greater than a 2-car garage. It's so much greater than a 4-bedroom house. God has a city that is sitting on the hill. Can I tell you, he has streets that are paved with gold, and you worry about a white picket fence? God said, what I have is greater, but your mind cannot come up to where I am, because all you can do is chase an American dream. But I share with them on Sunday that when God's glory kisses your destiny, you are going to, what it does is it is an intimacy between God's glory and your destiny. And when they become intimate, it causes a birthing in your future. God is trying to tell you that when my glory kisses your destiny, things are going to change for you. You're not going to have to worry about anything else. You're going to trust God when you can't trace him. You're going to understand that God is in total control, even when we have somebody in office that you do not agree with. You got to understand that everything that happens in your life, you're not going to agree with, but your faith has to be made full, you have to understand that God is going to do what he said he would do. He's not going to leave you by yourself. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I want you to put your head up, walk in confidence as a child of God. And while everybody else is in the world who is walking around in depression, walking around as if they're by themselves, there are many people who are alone and there are many people who are lonely. I recognize and I understand that there are people who can be sitting in a room full of people and still be lonely because it's not what's around their environment, it's what's in their emotions. And they feel as if people don't care. They feel as if people don't want to be bothered. And so it's not about who you're around, it's about what's going on in your emotions that causes a depression, that causes a place where you feel as if you cannot, that you don't fit in. But God said, I will be with you until the end. I have acknowledged the fact that if I don't have friends and I got God, I'm still better off. Yes, because I'm better off because the only reason that I'm going to be able to continue to function in my life is because God is with me. All right, let's go to verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. I'm going to say that again. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Can I tell you, children of God, we've got to come together. We've got to come together as a body of believers. And when we come together as a body of believers, fighting and uniting with one another, even as we're dealing with this racial uprise, I'm going to talk about everything that's happening right now. There is such a racial uprise that may have been triggered from the election campaign. But even though we're seeing the racial uprise, we've been through this before. And whatever we've been through before, we're going through it. We can go through it again. The only thing is I pray for the people of God, because the millenniums are not going to act the way our forefathers did. And so I pray for this generation because it is a fearless generation, and they feel as if that when they are being offended or if they're being disrespected, they don't come from a manner of peace. They want to automatically fight for themselves. But God said, I will fight for you. I will fight this battle for you. You don't have to worry about a thing. You can sit there and be quiet, and God is going to show himself. And everyone that rises up against you shall fall, because they're going to have to know who your God is. They're going to know his name after it's all said and done. And I don't have to lift a finger, pull out a weapon. All I have to do is trust God. I've got to pray. I've got to acknowledge the fact that, God, you got my back. And in spite of what I see and what I've been called and what has been said to me to insult me and to make me feel less than, you are a God that will show them, God, they cannot touch the anointing of God. And I have to let you understand on tonight, you are not just anointed because you preach in a pulpit. You're not just anointed because you play an instrument. You're not just anointed because you sing. You are anointed because you are a child of God. And he said, touch not my anointing and do my prophets no harm. You let the world know I am anointed. It would behoove you to back up off me. It's not a threat. I'm just trying to save your life. Why? Because I'm trying to let you know that God can do something to you if you don't get your hands off of me. Get your mouth off of me. I'm just trying to warn you. I'm anointed by God. He will not allow you to touch me. And so when we acknowledge the fact, again, that is being a part in the world but not of the world, we recognize who we are. We walk in confidence. We're not cocky. We just walk in confidence. We don't think that we're better than. We just know who we belong to. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know, here we go, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You have to understand, God loves you. I can't encourage this enough. And sometimes we feel as we don't feel the love of God because we're expecting it from an emotional way. But you have to understand all the things that God does for us. He has protected us. He has kept us. The things that he does what a father does. I tell you, I miss my father so much because growing up as a child, he was always there. He was my protector. He showed me what a father is supposed to be. And everybody does not know how a father is supposed to be. Everybody may not have seen that, but God was so gracious to me to allow my father to be in my home even until his death. And I acknowledge the fact that my father would do whatever he could in the means that he had. And when I would ask my father very rarely would say no to me. I'm spoiled. But my father would, it makes it very difficult for whatever man comes in my life because my father spoiled me. But what happens is my father would not all, just immediately say no to me. He would first say, let me see what I can do. I want you to know today that God already knows what you need before you ask it. God already knows what you're going to ask. He already is already setting up provision for you. You just got to watch and see how it plays out, because you think that he doesn't love you when the truth of the matter is he's been working and toiling just for you. When I think about my father going, we were living in Virginia. He would have to drive all the way from Richmond, Virginia to Washington, D.C., back and forth every single day. That's love. I work 15 minutes from my house, and it's a struggle. And I can't see how my father would get up so early in the morning just to get to D.C. And you have to understand that that kind of love, he had that kind of love because he knew he had a responsibility. And God says, I will be responsible for you. He says, I want you to know that I, as much as I love my son, I also love you as well. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Let me tell you something. This is a powerful verse. The reason why this verse is so powerful is because Jesus says to his Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That's what we got to acknowledge. When you die in Christ, we have to understand that it is not a mourning, but it is a celebration. When my uncle transitioned on last month, we had another funeral on last Saturday where my best friend's sister transitioned, but we gave God praise because it's this verse right here. Whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. When you are absent in the body, that means you are to be present in the Lord. And that is our gold. Everybody's looking for gold. Everybody is looking for the house. They're looking for the car. They're looking for the husband. They're looking for the wife. I'm looking for my name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm looking for God to say, you are my child. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And so that is what our gold is. That is what our destiny is. Our destiny is not to ride around in a Mercedes. Our destiny is not to be perfected in riches or be great in this world. They don't ever have to know my name. My bank account doesn't have to be larger than anybody else's. But what I need to know, what I'm satisfied knowing, is that where he is, I shall be also. Understanding, a lot of times we get nervous about death. We get nervous, but the Bible lets us know you are born, and then you will die at some point in time. And we have to stop looking at death as an ending, when the truth of the matter is death is just the beginning of life for us when we die in Christ, because we are his. We belong to God, and I don't want to belong to nobody else but God, because I know for a fact his record shows that he knows how to take care of me. He knows how to provide for me. He is my covering. And because he is my covering, I acknowledge him. I respect him. I reverence him for being the God that heals me, that takes care of me. And so he says, I want them to know that you love them just like you love me from the very foundation of the world, before the world even existed. You love me. Before you created me, you loved me. Before you put the stars into space, he loved you. Before he divided the waters from the waters, He loved you. And I want somebody to understand who is in, who's listening on the radio today. I pray today that even when it's recorded, that somebody will go back and let somebody listen to this to let them know there is someone who loves them in spite of all those people who have rejected you. Jesus was rejected by man, but he yet and still he pressed his way to save man. I want us to understand the things that God really has done for us that we minimize. We take for granted the things that he's really done for us because we're so focused on chasing American dreams. But when you come to an acknowledgement that when God's glory kisses your destiny, you're no longer chasing after American dream, but you are now a glory chaser. When you are a glory chaser, you chase after the things of God. And whatever he has next for you, I'm waiting for my next step in life to find out what is next for me. Even if it's tragedy, something good is going to come out of the ashes of tragedy because God is getting ready to bless me. And so I thank God for all the things that we're going through. I want you to keep your head up, y'all. I want y'all to, who are out there who may be going through for whatever reason, keep your head up. God has got you in the hollow of his hand. He did not leave you. He did not forsake you. You are not by yourself. And I know one of my favorite poems is the poem of Footprints, that it seems as if when there was only one footstep, he was carrying you the whole time. And I know you thought it was just you, but God has been holding you. He's been carrying you to the next destiny of your life. He said, because you're tired, you are about to give up. He said, let me pick my baby up and take them where they need to go. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to understand that's what fathers do. Fathers protect. Fathers are there. Fathers take care of their children. And I thank God because even if you never had a father, you still have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His father has always loved you. He's loved your father that wasn't even there. And so you've got to understand that I want to press this upon because there are so many broken homes and there's so many broken spirits and so many broken hearts. I want you to understand God loves you. Somebody said, well, Pastor, it's not the same thing. And I understand. I've had my father all my life. And so I may not understand, but I have a child who is going through the same process. And even though she's going through the same process, other men have stepped up to be the father in her life, but she's still longing for that natural father. But God said, I will be a father to the fatherless, and what you need, he will supply. If we stop looking and focus on what we don't have and focus on the one who has everything that we need. Let's do the last verse, and then I'm going to open up the line in a little bit because I want you to kind of share, some of you, where you are at this season and time in your life. The Bible says in verse 25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And so let's understand, everybody may not know God the way others know him. But if I connect myself to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I trust him enough that his Father is taking care of, that takes care of him, will take care of me. And that at some point in time, all the world is going to know, because the Bible lets us know every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And when we see that, we're going to know all this time, I'm going to thank God that I stayed in the kingdom of God, that I didn't turn away from the kingdom of God. I just trusted and believed in the word of God through the word of truth. And it said in the beginning of this text, that God would sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I hold on to the very words of God. Whatever word of God comes off the lips of the oracles of God, I embrace those words because I know those words are life to me. And the reason why I have life and I have life more abundantly is because I walk in the truths of the word of God. And so I want to open up the line to you because there are many of you who are maybe out there who are listening tonight that have dealt with some issues, and they may not be the election. You just may be going through in your life just the way how things may be playing out in your life. I want to encourage you tonight that you are not by yourself. He has not left us alone. We are not going through this thing by ourselves, and there may be things, there may be storms that you're going through, but the storms always come back with the sun. sun shining. It rained here all day yesterday. It rained from the time I got up to the time I went home. But when I got up this morning, the sun was shining. And so I come to let you know that even though you may be going through the hardest storm in your life, the sun is going to shine again. So the lines are open to anybody that want to kind of share today, that might even want to encourage somebody else that might be on the line. God bless you.
Amen. 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 Father, open. Father, mic's open.
Amen. I know there's somebody in here who has something to say that may be dealing with a lot of things. I pray that you were encouraged tonight. I pray that it may have given you another outlook on your life's journey, because God is a God who is going to bring you to your destiny. The problem is we're scared of the travel. We're not scared of the destiny. We're afraid of the process of getting to the destiny. Amen. You're gonna
Amen.
Have some pitfalls. You're gonna have some potholes, but don't worry about the process to the destiny. Let's focus all on destiny. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I thank God for this word tonight, Pastor Dawn, that I'm not alone in this, because God is taking me to places that I never thought he would. And sometimes I felt like I'm alone in this. But by hearing your word tonight and the Lord speaking into my spirit today, know that he has my back. And wherever he's taking me, you know, it's a safe place, and he knows. He knows himself where he's taking me. So I thank God for him, for God doing what he's doing in my life. So I appreciate this word tonight.
God bless you, Pastor Rose. Yeah. Listen, let me also share with you, a lot of times we are fearful of promotion. And a lot of times God wants to take us higher in order for us to get to the next step in our life, to get to destiny. But a lot of times it's not God who is holding us back. And sometimes we're too afraid to go into our destiny because
right.
He is in a higher place and there's more demands on our life. There's more requirements from our life. And so a lot of times when we have to deal with the requirements, we want to back off because we don't want to deal with that responsibility. But
mm-hmm.
with greater blessing comes greater responsibility. And know this,
yeah.
that if God is about to promote
time.
You, if he's about to promote you, he has given you the provision that you need to handle what promotion you're about to get. So
right.
don't be afraid of walking in greater destiny. It was my mentor's wife who shared with us in our Mosaic conference. She said, because she's one who cooks a lot, and she says when she would make biscuits, she would put all the ingredients together, and then once she has put the ingredients together, she would put it in a bowl, and then she would cover it with a towel. So that would give it time to rest and cause it to rise. So you got to realize that God has covered us through a lot of things in our life that we've gone through. We've been needed. We've been pushed. We've been pressed. We've been going through a lot of things, but then at some point in time, he puts us in a place where we're resting in a cool, dry place, and he covers us so that we can rise. And the only reason why you may be going through what you're going through is that
mm-hmm.
God said, I'm allowing you to do this, and I'm covering all the things that you've gone through so I can watch you rise. It is the will of God, people of God.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot press this upon. It is the will of God that you be greater.
Amen.
Not just be great.
Amen.
He wants you to be greater. And the purpose
Amen.
Of being great, that we can only be great in the sanctification of God, is because God wants us to be holy, for he is holy. And I'm tired of people are in the process, who are in a place where they're saying, I can't be holy. That is not something I can do because I'm just not wired that way. I come to let you know that if God spoke the word, be holy, for I am holy, he
That's
is letting
right.
us know that it's something that we are capable of doing. Otherwise, he would
right.
never told us to do it.
That's
so
right.
Don't worry about the press. Don't worry about the kneading. Don't worry about the pulling and all of that. Those are nothing but the process that you you have to go through to rise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you rise, it's going to take you to the to a better place. The worst thing you can do is when you're trying to make business, not get business. Biscuits. When you're making biscuits, when you don't give it time to rest, and God said, I'm going to give you a resting season, and in that resting season, you may not hear from me. You may feel like I've walked away from you, but I've been covering you the whole time. So you have to understand that God doesn't want to deflate or push you back into the things you used to be in. The one thing, if you've ever, I'm going to share this with you because sometimes sanctified folk don't want to be truthful. You know, they don't want to tell the truth about their testimony. They want to make people believe that they've always been in God and they always lived a life of holiness. But the truth of the matter is everybody was not delivered from a miserable life of sin.
That's
know, some people were happy what they was doing.
Yeah.
That's why it was a struggle for them to come to God because they were happy in the sin they were in. So there were some of us that were not delivered from a miserable life of sin. But God hollowed us out to take the taste or take that that feeling away from us so that we can walk in the truth of God. It's not that easy. It takes a real man. It takes a real woman of God that can walk into the truth of God and say no to their flesh because flesh is not miserable. It was, a happy, happy life for a lot of people, you know. And if we tell the truth and let our young people know, listen, this is where I come from. But when we think about it, I have to share this. As happy as it was, everything that is attached to sin leads to destruction.
Yes, it does.
Amen.
Check it out.
Amen.
Drugs, destruction. Alcohol, destruction. You know, we're being promiscuous. That leads to destruction. So everything that made us happy in our flesh, everything leads to destruction.
That's right.
While when we are walking in the word or the truth of God, we don't like it. It's like eating broccoli for some folks. It's like eating spinach for some folks. It's a healthy thing to do, but we don't want to do it, even though we know it's going to make us better.
Right.
But I'd rather eat the junk because it makes me feel good. It tastes better. And because it tastes better, I'm going to stay over on this side until it finally takes me out of here. And that's why I don't understand people with high blood pressure, people with sugar diabetes. There are certain things you know you're not supposed to eat. And a lot of things would not happen in the course of your body if you would take the route of doing the right thing. But it's so hard to deny my flesh. But we have to deny our flesh daily.
Daily, that's right. Yeah.
Because I am in this world, but I can't do the things of the world. I can't be on one side and on the other side.
Right.
One foot with Jesus and one foot with the devil. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Because at some point in time, something's going to take over.
Yep.
That's
and
right.
And you better hope that it's God and not your flesh.
Yeah.
Hope that is God and not your flesh. There is no good. The Bible, oh my God, thank you, Father. There's no good thing that dwells in your flesh. Nothing good dwells in your flesh.
Yes.
But that's the thing that we go after. That's the mindset we go after. And that's why the world is the way it is, because it's only governed by its flesh. And when it's governed by its flesh, it ain't gonna want to do the things of God. Okay, if somebody would be truthful on the line, because I'm going to tell the truth. I'm being transparent tonight since ain't too many people talking to me tonight. I'm going to be transparent. I'm going to tell you the truth. There's some things that I did not want to do. I did not want to change my life in certain things because I was happy where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to deny the thing that I loved. See, y'all have to understand, I loved my flesh. See, there's a lot of people who ain't going to tell the truth. I love the things in my flesh, just like you love certain things. You love cake, you love cookies, you love candy, all those things. You may love it, but it ain't good for you.
That's right.
Just because it's good to you doesn't mean it's good for you.
Right, right.
And when I acknowledge the fact that this, look, I got to stop. Every now and then, somebody who's going through that stage in their life where they have overdosed on things, they say, okay, I got to get myself together.
Right.
Everybody comes to that breaking point in their life where they say, I've got to get myself together. So in other words, if you got to get yourself together, you have acknowledged the fact that you've been doing something wrong all this time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen. So we as a body of believers are going to have to come together and pray. We're going to have to pray for this world, pray for government, pray for the fact that God keeps a hedge of protection around us.
Yes.
And that God is keeping us. And the reason why Jesus prayed the prayer to his Father concerning his disciples, not only his disciples, but those who heard the words of the disciples, which that would be us. He kept us. He wants us to keep us from sin and sanctify us.
Mm-hmm.
We have to realize it's not about riches, y'all. The best prosperity is the prosperity of the soul. If I can make my soul rich,
that's right.
It's greater than making my bank account. Listen, the Bible says, first seek ye the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. You have to wait for the add-on to happen. Once, you got an understanding that my focus is on the Son of God. My focus is on my spiritual growth. Because whatever I need from God, he's going to take care of all those. That's the other thing. But the main thing is, if I'm focused on God, if I take care of the things of God, he's going to take care of me.
Amen.
That's how the principle goes. That's how it works. That's how it works. And when we understand that, he's working it out for your good. He is still the God who holds this world in his hand. He is still the God that is in control. He is still the God who is looking after us. And he's blessing us. Even when things look out of control, he's still in control.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
So we're not looking to the things of the world. I want to encourage you today. I know it looks bad out there, y'all, but it's a setup. For a blessing.
Yes.
So I want you to stop looking at the tragedy of a thing and look at the miracle of the thing. Wait for the miracle to come out of it. See, I shared with them, and I'm gonna have to go. I shared with them when Peter came off the boat and walked on the water.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people look at it and said, now everybody in the boat had an opportunity to do what Peter did. But when Peter walked on the water, he began to walk. That was the beginning of a miracle. But then tragedy struck. He stopped focusing on God and started focusing on his situation. The Bible lets us know before he stepped out the boat, the water was already contrary. So he wasn't afraid of the water when he got out the boat because he was focused on God. The Bible even lets us know that they did not become afraid until they saw something out on the water. These were fishermen. They'd been in contrary situations before. But here, he steps out the boat, walking towards Jesus. He's too far from the boat and too far from Jesus. So he begins to sink. And Jesus reaches down to where he was, and he lifts him up. He doesn't carry him back to the boat. He makes him walk back because he's still in his miracle. Amen. So y'all
Amen.
Be blessed on tonight. I
you
pray,
too, Pastor Dawn.
God bless you. I
Thank
pray
you.
That all of you are able to receive something from this tonight and share it with somebody else. I pray if there was any nugget that you received out of this word, I hope some of you are writing this down, that you can share with somebody else because somebody needs to be encouraged today. Let them know that they are not all in this by themselves. God bless you, Brother Clay. I'm going to turn it back into your hands.
Yes, amen, amen, amen. I don't know about you. We have a lot of numbers online, but as we've sat around the table, I know that I have been blessed, and we've sat down and eaten on the Word of God, and I am full.
Yes.
So, Pastor Mixon, we do thank you for a mighty word that you have shared with us, something that
God
we can
you.
Learn from you. I pray that all those who are listening, especially those by internet, that you would apply it to your life. Amen. Apply it to your
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
I cannot stress how much or how important what she shared is going to help us to live, amen, to be able to deal
amen.
In this world that we're in today. So I do thank you. We thank you. Those who are listening by internet and as well as those who called in, we do thank you. And there's just nothing better or greater than when we sit around and feed on the Word of God, amen, it just gives
amen.
Us something to run with. So, again, thank you so much. For those of you that have tuned in by internet, again, if you are, even those that called in, if you would like to go to the archive of Blog Talk Radio and you would type in We Can Begin Again, if you would like to share this, if you'd like to share this with someone, and I pray that you do, amen. There are so many out there who are in need, especially at a time such as this, but sharing this with them, you can go to the archive and you can listen to it again and again and again. And we pray that you would do just that. We're at the close of the hour. Once again, we do thank you for tuning in. We're back next Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we pray that you would be blessed until then. So, Pastor Mixon, God bless you, and we are happy that you are back online. We have been praying for you and your family and friends, and continue to move forward and do the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
I face the dawn.